be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold around his neck, about his neck, and shall be the third ruler of the kingdom. Then came all the king's wise men, and they could not read the writing, nor could they make known the interpretation thereof. And then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changing him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy countenance trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. For there is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show thee the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou Daniel, which art the children of the captivity of Judah, which my father brought out of Jewry? And I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, and they have read the writing, and have made and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. And if thou canst read the writing and make known the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and thou shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would put down. And when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling with the wild asses, and they fed him with the grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled the kingdom of men, that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And now his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, that though thou knowest all things, but thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and thou have brought thy vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drank wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways thou hast not glorified, when thou hast the part of thy hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was taken, Meni, Meni, Tekel, Upharsin. And this is the interpretation of the thing, Meni, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar that they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler of the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Let's pray. God, I love you. I thank you for the day. I pray that you help us now as we dive into your word. Father, do what only you can, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. What I want to point out to you today, as I was beginning to read and been going through some things lately, dealing with different people and counseling and helping people and going through my own experiences, I found this story again in Daniel chapter number 5 of Belshazzar. And I want to point out some things to you that Belshazzar learned the night that he died. Some things Belshazzar learned the night he died that will ultimately do and change what happens to us the night that we die. I want you to notice, first of all, that Belshazzar learned God doesn't play. God doesn't play. Look at verse number 20. Verse number 20 says, but when his heart, now this is Daniel talking to Belshazzar about his dad Nebuchadnezzar, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. Daniel comes to Belshazzar and he says, listen, your dad Nebuchadnezzar had all of God's blessings. He took care of God's people and God blessed him. Whoever he went against in battle, he won. If he wanted them to die, they died. If he wanted their kingdom, he got their kingdom. Whatever he wanted, he got. Until Nebuchadnezzar became full of pride. And God doesn't play, Belshazzar, with pride. God doesn't play with sin. There's so many people sitting in this auditorium and all across of America this morning that need to understand this simple fact: God's not playing with your sin. We as Christians sometimes, the psalmist David calls it our secret sins. Hey Lord, the secret sins are shown in the light of thy countenance. Do you know why Christians don't come to the altar and pray? Because God's going to reveal those secret sins you're playing with. And for any of us to sit here and go, well, that's not me, we're fooling ourselves. Nebuchadnezzar was fooling himself. Belshazzar was fooling themselves to think they did not have sins that God didn't know about. Your wife may not know about it. Your husband may not know about it. Your children probably don't know about it. But God Almighty knows. And he doesn't play with sin. Not only does he not play with sin, look at verse number 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. And I circled that in my Bible. Knewest all this. God doesn't play with the truth. God says, this is what it is. Sin is sin. I don't care who you are. It's wrong. So you don't get to get away with sin because you're a Christian. You don't get to get away with sin because you're a deacon, because you're a Sunday school teacher, because you attend church on Christmas and Easter. You don't get away with it. Sin is sin. God says, I do not play with the truth. The problem with us, with most Christians, is that we play with ourselves in the truth. We try to convince ourselves that God is okay with whatever we do. That God's not going to punish me because I'm not that bad. My sin's not as bad as his sin. And Daniel looks at Belshazzar and he says, it doesn't work that way. You knew what your daddy did, and yet you still chose to do what you did. Belshazzar, the night he died, learned that God does not play. Secondly, Belshazzar learned in verse number 27, he says, in Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. He learned that the world is wrong. He learned that all his friends are wrong. We are not good enough to get into heaven by ourselves. When I was in Bible college and growing up, I heard people say, when I get to heaven, God will outweigh my good and my bad. And I had never heard that from anyone in the world until I was talking to a man one day who simply said, I'm not worried about heaven. When I get there, God knows that I'm a pretty good person. And he looked at me and he said, I just kind of figured God's going to do one of these whole, like, yeah, good, bad, he's good, I'll let him in. And I began to think, as he was standing there, that's what Belshazzar was thinking. I'm pretty good. I'm going to be okay. I obviously wasn't as bad as my dad because I haven't been out here doing this. And he looks at him. Daniel looks at Belshazzar and he says, you've been weighed and you've been found wanting. Let me tell you this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, God has already weighed every good thing that you will ever do and every bad thing you will ever do. And guess what? You are found wanting. And the only way it will ever be made right is with Jesus Christ. So when people say, well, God's going to weigh my good and my bad, guess what? He did. And you're wanting. There's no hope left. When you get to heaven, there's no scales, there's no decisions already been made. The moment you took your first breath, God already knew he's wanting. He's already in the hole. So he learned that the world is wrong. He learned that the world was wrong because you're not good enough. He learned the world was wrong because you can't do whatever you want and be happy. Belshazzar throws a feast for 1,000 people, and they're having a grand old party, and they're drinking wine, and the Bible says, and as he drank wine in their presence, he's trying to make himself happy. Let's have a great time. The Bible says his countenance was changed. You can't do whatever you want and expect to be happy. I know today is Super Bowl Sunday, and a lot of people have their opinions on the NFL. Tom Brady, who is a man that as a football player, I despise. As a Buffalo Bills fan, I can't stand Tom Brady. But I have to say, admit it truthfully, that man is a good quarterback. Three-time NFL MVP, five-time Super Bowl winner. He's a good quarterback. But after his third Super Bowl win, I'll never forget, I was watching a news broadcast, and he was, I believe, on the Today Show. And they asked him, well, Tom, are you happy? And he said, I don't know why people ask me that. He said, I've got money. I'm married to a beautiful supermodel. I have wonderful kids. Why do people ask me if I'm happy? And she said, well, what makes you happy? He said, and I quote, I'll let you know when I find it. And I thought to myself, Mr. Brady, it's Jesus Christ. You can't do whatever you want and expect to be happy. You can't live any way you want and expect to be happy. Belshazzar thought, I'll throw this great party. We'll use God's cups. That'll make it a grand old time. No, Mr. Belshazzar, you can't do that. Hey, Christians, guess what? You can't do whatever you want after you name the name of Christ. When you become a Christian, you can't just go off and live your life the way you want to and expect to be happy. Lost people here this morning, understand something. You are never, ever going to be truly happy until you find Jesus Christ. I don't care how many Super Bowls Tom Brady wins. I don't care how many kids he has, how many millions of dollars. He will never be happy until he finds Jesus Christ. I can tell you at the darkest moments of a Christian's life, when you're struggling the most, there's always this hope of one day it'll turn around for me. Even if that day's in heaven, one day it'll turn around for me. That's true happiness. That's what Belshazzar learned the night he died. I will never be happy. But not only did he learn that God doesn't play, not only did he learn that the world is wrong, he learned that sin has consequences. Belshazzar learned in verse number 30, it says, In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. He learned that sin has to be paid for. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And let me tell you this, this is the honest truth. Death is the only thing, the shed blood is the only thing that can atone for sins. So listen, this is your choice now. You could take your death, your spilling of your blood, and use that for your sins. But guess what? It's not enough. And you'll be found wanting. Or you can look at Jesus and say, your blood, your death, that's all I've got. I was talking to a man not long ago, and he said, what makes you think you're going into heaven? I said, because Jesus died for me. I said, I'm not counting on me to get into heaven, because if it was up to me, I can't get there. I'm not going to make it. I'm not even close. But Jesus says, I can go. He learned that he was going to die that night, that sin had to be paid for. Tonight, Belshazzar, you are going to die. Now that's a serious consequence. What if God came to us, Christians, and he says, you know what? I'm going to give you one more chance to make your sin right. I'm going to give you one more shot to come to this altar, confess it, get it over with, move on, or I'm going to bring you home because I'm not doing it anymore. You say, well, God doesn't work like that. Oh, absolutely, he does. I could take you to the grave of people that I know had one time or another put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but lived a life of doing whatever they want, trying to make themselves happy. And at a very early age, God said, no more. Can't do it. I'm not going to let you do that anymore. Sin has to be paid for. He also learned that night that eternity was real. He learned that night when he closed his eyes and he was slain for the very first, when he took that last breath, he knew it then. Wow. Dad and Daniel were right. It's over for me now. I wish I could stand here as a preacher of the gospel and tell you, don't worry. That when you die, your family could be good enough. They could give some money. They could pray enough to get you out of purgatory. I wish I could tell you those things. but I can't.
That's right.
I can't tell you that. What I can tell you is right now, today, you don't have to worry about that anymore. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Belshazzar, after he learned this news, didn't make any formal repentance, didn't try to make things right. He went back to what the world says. Let's make Daniel happy with scarlet and gold and make him important. And Daniel says, I don't want it. God is all I need. Well, Belshazzar learned three things that night. He learned that God doesn't play. He learned the world is wrong. And he learned that sin has consequences. But what about me and you? What do we need to learn before we die? For Christians here, I think you need to realize that God is not playing with your sin. That is a harsh reality. For you to profess the name of Jesus Christ and tell people, I'm a Christian because Jesus died for me. Understand something. God's not playing. It's not a game to him. His very son died for you. Now think about that in your own reality. What if you lost your loved one? Let's say you lost your child. They were killed in an automobile accident. And as they were rushed to the hospital, they were able to save a few organs to give to someone else to make them live. And you get to meet that person. And you say, my son is dead and now you are living because of his death. What if that person goes out and does whatever he wants and does anything he wants and just absolutely makes a ruin of his life? Don't you think that would make you a little upset? But it's so much more serious with God. God said, my son intentionally died for you. And we wonder why God says, the children that I love, I punish. You know why? Because it means something to him. God doesn't play with our sins. He absolutely will not. Not only will God not play with your sin, but you better understand this. You better deal with your sin before God does. It is so much easier to come to God and say, I am so sorry, than to let that thing come to a head by itself. Christians learn that God's not playing with your sin. He's not learning to play with your pride. You know why we don't deal with sin? Because we're afraid of what everyone's going to think about us. What's my spouse going to think if I tell them I'm sorry? They're going to think I lost. What happens if I come and pray at this altar? People are going to look at me and go, I wonder what kind of horrible sin they're into. And you know what the reality of that is? That's scary. That we're willing to let what people think about us affect what an almighty God thinks about us. We need to know and learn, Christians, to let God use us in his time. Nebuchadnezzar had passed away and Daniel had been put on the shelf. And no one really knows what Daniel did, but we know about this time Daniel would have been about 90 years old. He came into the kingdom at 16, now he's 90. So he's been put on the shelf for a while now. And Daniel's faithfully serving his Lord, day in and day out. And guess what? When the new king comes, when Darius comes, guess what Daniel's doing? Serving the Lord day in and day out. Until God says, okay, Daniel, I need you again. Wouldn't that be something for us as Christians? For God to go, hey, you know what? I need you here. And to use you in a mighty way and then say, okay, take a break. I'll come back to you. And we still be so faithful. We're so ready. Instead, what happens is when we get taken out of something, we get bitter and we get angry. God, why am I not doing this anymore? And God goes, wait. Here's Daniel saying, God, you just use me when you're ready for me. But for the lost people here today, there's something you need to learn too. You need to learn again that God's not playing with your sin. It will cost you an eternity. A real and literal place called hell is waiting on people who think God is playing with their sin. Well, it's not that big a deal. It's not that bad. And God says, I'm not playing with you. I'm not playing with your sin. I've told you what to do with it. From the smallest sin to the greatest sin, give it to Jesus. And we'll pretend it never happened. You need to know, lost people, that God's not playing with your sin. Number two, you need to know you're not good enough. I don't care what you do. I don't care how much you change. You think, I need to change before I come to Jesus. Understand something. You can't change enough to be good enough for Jesus. Just come as you are. Think about the people that went to Jesus when he was there doing miracles. It wasn't the healthy people, was it? It was the lepers. It was the sick, the blind, the lame. They knew, I need Jesus. Amen. The good people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, I don't need Jesus. I'm good enough. And the sick people were going, I'm not good enough. I need you, Jesus. But yet here we are with our pride and we say, I'm good enough. I can walk with a limp. It'll be okay. I want you to know, lastly, lost people, that God is sufficient for your salvation. This is the one lesson that Belshazzar never learned, that God was enough. Had he just given his life to Christ, everything would have been different. His family would have been different. His kingdom would have been different. And if you don't believe me, look at Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a great kingdom because he gave it to God. He messed up. God took him down. He came back, and God took him back up. Don't play. God knows. God is sufficient. Let Jesus pay your consequence. Sin has to be paid for. You can do it, or someone else can do it. And that someone can only be Jesus Christ. You've got to choose. Belshazzar that night learned that at some point he needed to choose what was going to happen. So the things that Belshazzar learned the night that he died, the night that Almighty God wrote on the wall, I thought about that. The Bible says that Belshazzar's knees began to knock together because he was scared. Let's get real for a minute. We look at that with criticism, but if God were to send his hand down and to begin right on this wall behind me, there's not a single person in this room that would not be scared. And you know what we're thinking? Is that for me? Is that for me? No, that's probably for him. That's probably for her. That might be for me. Let me tell you this morning, God already is taking his finger and writing on your heart, this is for you. This is the thing right here. This thing that you don't think anyone knows about, right here, I know. Christians, don't play with sin. Don't do it. Achan played with sin, and what happened? It cost him everything. It's not worth it. Lost people, don't play with sin because it will cost you everything. I'm not a perfect man, but when I die, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I will stand in front of a perfect God. Amen. And sometimes I wonder, sometimes I just have to wonder when I stand before God, if God's not going to look at me and go, why you, Josh? Why should I let you in heaven? And I'm going to look at him and all I'm going to say is, because Jesus loves me. And you say, no, that's not how it works. Oh, yeah? Then you tell me why Jesus speaks on my behalf. Because as I'm standing before God, and all the wrongs that I've ever done are there, Jesus says, I've taken care of that. We're okay. We're good. God then says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's not for preachers. That's not for teachers. That's just for anybody who knows Jesus Christ. When you get to heaven, you can hear, well done. Well done. If you choose Jesus, if not, you're going to hear these words. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You sinner! I never knew you. And I imagine there'll be people who say, but Jesus, I was in church for years. I went on visitation. My wife, we were really tight, and she went to church, and she prayed for me. You know my name. He'll say, I never knew you. I never knew you. When Belshazzar died that night, he learned God never knew him. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I do thank you for the day. Lord, there are some things that Belshazzar learned that all of us need to learn. Father, in my heart, there's some things that Belshazzar learned that I've had to learn time and time again. That you don't play. You're not playing with my sin. It's not a joke. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I can do whatever I want and expect happiness. It doesn't work that way. But Father, would you help me this morning to leave all my sins, those secret and those public, behind? and to not play anymore. Father, if there's one here this morning, just one, that doesn't know for sure that they're going to go to heaven. Father, maybe there's one here that just absolutely knows right now, I'm not going to heaven. I'm not good enough. Father, would you help them to come forward in just a few minutes? The pastor would be standing down front. And to tell the pastor, could you help me know? Could you help me know that Jesus will take me to heaven? I don't care how bad of a sinner they are, how much they think they need it or they don't need it. They need it, Lord. And help them. For the Christians here, Lord, may they realize you're not playing with sin. Father, may they realize that, hey, God, I want to serve you in all kinds of ways. And Father, may you get specific with us. Father, may you take the Word of God as a sword and just drive it as deep and specific as you can and reach that place that only you can. Father, in just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. Do as only you can. We'll trust you for it, Lord. With everyone's head bowed and eyes still closed, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Let me ask you something. Let's get real for a minute. If God's almighty hand would come down and write on the wall, how many of us would think that's for me? Because I've got this. Because God knows I've got this. Why not come get that taken care of today? Come in this altar right here and give it to God and say, God, you know what? I'm coming up short. Maybe you're here today and you see that writing on the wall and you think, that's me, because I'm not God's. God doesn't know me. He knows my name. He knows my family's name, but he doesn't know me. I need him. In just a minute, when I ask you to stand to your feet, this is what I'm going to ask you to do, to get real with yourself for a minute. As soon as you stand, would you make your way to the altar? The pastor's down front. He'll have someone take the Word of God and show you how you can know that you're going to heaven. Those who are going to get baptized in a few minutes know that they're going to heaven today. Not because of this water. If they died right now, they're still going to heaven. Because Jesus did it for them. You can know that too. Christians, I charge you, don't play with sin. Father, do as only you can, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads down and eyes still closed, stand to your feet. The pianist is going to continue to softly play. If you need to come this morning, why don't you come to this altar? Christians, it's here for you. Come and don't play with sin. Give it to God. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You're not sure if you'll go to heaven. Come down and grab the pastor and say, hey, preacher, I don't want to go to hell. Belshazzar died and went to hell for real. And we don't want that. Maybe you need to come and say, hey, pastor, help me. Get someone to help me. Maybe you brought someone to church with you and you're not sure that they're going to heaven. Why don't you love them enough to look at them and say, hey, do you know if you're going to heaven? Because I am, and I want you to come too. Please do not leave here this morning not knowing. Because I can promise you this, God's not playing with your sin. You have been accountable now. You have heard the Word of God. You have heard God say, look at me. It's real. Don't turn it down. Come before an almighty God this morning. Maybe you're struggling with a sin and you want someone to pray with you. Listen, iron sharpeneth iron. Come grab the pastor. Say, pastor, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But help me. Pray with me over this. Belshazzar learned some hard lessons that night. That you don't have to learn the hard way. Because God has wrote on the wall of your heart and said, look, it's real. You're not enough. Thank you.
Right, that's the one. Shall we gather at the river? And it's page 320. Page 320. I don't know if they have the words up there. It's all right, we might have to take out the books.
The river where bright angel fells apart with the crystal tide forever flowing down on the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Verse 2. On the bosom of the river where the Savior King we own, we shall meet in sorrow never, neath the glory of the throne. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Amen. Amen.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus and
one hand under. No, let me do it. One hand on top. The other way.
Turn around, brother. Turn around. There you go. Hold them. Hold them tight.
Right. I'll get you those. Right. Just wait. All right. Just hold on tight.
Right. There you go. Hold them on. There you go.
I have to get my hand up here. All right. Now we got it. All right. So when I lay you back, just bend your knees. Daniel, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death.
Amen.
Sanders.
All right. Praise the Lord. Come on, my brother.
All Infante, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Then upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death.
Praise the Lord. All right.
Come on, little brother.
Amen.
Hold your hand, because sometimes, I know you're a man, but sometimes it's slippery.
Amen, it's slippery. There you go.
All right, then. Demaria, have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? Then upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death.
Praise the Lord.
Now we have our special friend of the pastors, Andy.
What
are you? Do it.
How about you just come and we'll just walk in with your pastor? We won't do it if you don't want to, okay? Come on. She's excited. Asked her father to come be here with her.
Amen.
If you're uncomfortable after you get in here, we'll let you get out. I promise you that. It's like a hot tub, isn't it?
I know.
Praise the Lord. One hand under, one hand, and you hold on to pastor. All right? All right? Turn around this way because your mom wants a selfie. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Then upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death.
Amen! Amen.
I knew.
What you got her up there?
I'm excited for her.
Praise God.
Last person, and this will be hard.
Come on.
It's my father-in-law.
Praise the Lord. All right. Amen.
Praying for this day, Stephanie.
Amen.
Praying for this day. More so praying for his salvation. The Lord brought that to pass.
Praise the Lord.
So, Mike, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Lord Jesus Christ. Baptize you, my brother, in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death.
Praise the Lord.
Besides all this, one young man came to know Christ.
Praise the Lord.
We're excited what the Lord has done. Amen. And I trust and pray that you would listen to what my son has said. You'll have no peace, you'll have no joy outside of Jesus Christ if you're not saved. And then if you are saved and aren't living for him, you'll have no peace, you'll have no joy. I trust that you would make the number one in your heart tonight.
Amen.
We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. Don't forget tonight, services is early. It's at 5:30. We'll see you tonight at 5:30 as we stand to be dismissed in a word of prayer. And as we pray.